والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين ما بعد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. My dear respected brothers and elders and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He is giving us these precious moments in this short life that we have to reflect upon the Qur'an, the book of guidance and wisdom. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it from our good deeds and allow us inshaAllah ta'ala through the Qur'an to get forgiveness and allow us that we get shifa, kamila, ajila and afiya in this life and the hereafter. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. So inshallah we'll continue on the next section of Surah Al-Anbiya, and this is again in connection to the previous section. So I want everyone to kind of be aware again about the previous section. It was talking about people of arrogance, right? And so it might relate to certain people. Again, the ayats of when Allah Ta'ala breaks, basically he brings the gavel down, right? He slams it down. It hits really hard, right? So certain people have to first get themselves ready for it. It's like, wow, Allah hit really hard, right? And that's because sometimes, you know, his malakut, his jabarut, right, his majesty and his kingdom will come down on you, and it comes down really powerful. At the same time, there are certain questions that we as Muslims, who are, mashallah, and I think everyone here is a very excellent believer, mashallah, may Allah increase all of us. Mm-hmm. Having said that, you know, sometimes a question will come in our minds, is like, oh, Allah's Rahman Rahim, why is He doing this, you know? Like, and we get these weird doubts in our hearts. So this part of Surah Al-Anbiya really addresses that topic. So I want everyone, inshallah ta'ala, when you're listening, keep that in mind. And I'll mention it again and again throughout. That way you're like, oh yeah, that's what that's about. Okay? Because when you're reading with the right lens, the surah goes very nicely. It flows very well. Okay? So we just left off last week. لَا تَرْكُضُوا وَرْجِعُوا إِلَى مَا أُتْرِفْتُمْ فِيهِمْ وَسَاكِنِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُسْأَلُونَ. We spoke about, and oh yeah, one last thing about last week as well. So we talked a little bit about genders, and I want to also stress this to parents. Because a lot of times what happens is, because we're following the current trends of our time, sometimes we feel like, oh, I have to raise my child in a different way. Maybe from a little bit different from his gender. It might not apply to, mashallah, our desi parents, because, you know, the danda sharif, you know, the beats are the ones that run our families, you know. But and for our Arab brothers as well, mashallah, we all understand this completely well. Having said that, like, sometimes what happens is some parents might feel pressured to, okay, raise my child differently from his, you know, his natural state or whatever biology he has. I want you just to understand that, look, if someone's telling you this and this, the Quran never changes, okay? Don't look at what people are saying today, tomorrow, yesterday, whatever. People are going to continue to talk till the day of judgment. See what the Quran says about how a man should be. See how the Quran says how a woman should be. And if you raise them like what the Quran says, you'll be completely fine. I'm not promising that. Allah Ta'ala is promising that. Okay? So I want everyone to be aware of that. Don't get confused. And this is, again, it's an entirely separate subject, which maybe one day we can talk about. Maybe, you know, we're going to have a presentation and everything for that, you know. But inshallah, that's for another time. Okay? لا تركضوا وارجعوا إلى ما أترفتم فيه وساكنكم لعلكم تسألون. So we return to where the angels, they tell the people that are running out of their homes. When the punishment of Allah comes down, the people are running away from their luxuries and running away from their homes. And so the angels say, why don't run away, come back. Return to your luxuries and return to your homes so you may be asked, right? لعلكم تسألون. And we explained this, that their luxuries were the source of confusion from the truth. Because people live in afia and tana'um, in a lot of ni'am, in a lot of blessings and luxury, and this couch and that couch and this furniture and 50 TVs I have and all these different things we all have. Because of that, sometimes we think we're going to be here forever. It gets you get very comfortable. And Allah Ta'ala defined, He said, وَسَاكِنِكُمْ. Their houses are what makes them think that they're going to be here for a long time. Because they're all just renovating the home, just making their home nicer and nicer, thinking we'll never leave this house. So that's why these two things were reflected on, luxuries and masakin, okay? That is the most distracting thing of the dunya in terms of a luxury a person can have. And at the end of the ayah, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُسْأَلُونَ, what we understand is Allah Ta'ala says what their distraction is, what is the source of the distraction, because people love to have fame, people love to be asked, right? People love to be questioned. When someone asks you for your opinion, it makes you feel so happy. And this is what we're facing today, in the era of Dajjal that we're living in. The Prophet ﷺ said, there'll come a time where people will all be amazed with their own opinions. No one cares to listen to anyone who has any authority. Everyone becomes their own authority. You know, it's very ajeeb that we have, in the first time in all of history, and I'm telling you this after studying, you know, as much as I could, about tafsir, right? Tafsir of the Qur'an has always been written by scholars. meaning people who had proper traditional training. You have a background in Arabic, you have a background in Nahw and Sarf and Balagha, you studied, the Imam Suyuti rahimahullah said 15 disciplines that's required, I'm sorry, 17 disciplines required to become a Mufassir, right? You get all these scholars who studied, you know, rulings and hadith and nasikh and mansukh and what is this ayah versus this ayah, and they studied so much, and then finally at the end of their life they feel confident to write a tafsir, right? After all that study of 15 different disciplines, mastering everything, then they're like, you know what? I can finally feel confident enough to talk about the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nowadays, what do you have? The undergrad. Everyone know who an undergrad is? The guy who barely learned how to do istinja properly. He's leaving the bathroom and he's like, you know what? I think I can write a tafsir today. And I'm not even joking. You think I'm joking? You know, there was one kid in class, I remember, like, you know, Mawlana Sainwal was telling me that he was teaching a class on Ulum al-Quran, the sciences of the Quran. And so then one kid raised his hand, you know, he's teaching, these are, again, like, college level students, right? One kid was like, Sheikh, I want to write a tafsir. What do I need to be, write a tafsir? And Mawlana was like staring at him, like, you know, who here has the guts to comment on the book of Allah? I don't even have the guts. I'm literally telling you what the Mufassirs have said. I don't have the courage to talk about it. Right, so Mawlana pulled out the book and he showed him Imam Suyuti's conditions of what you need to do for Mufassir, alhamdulillah, bichara, the guy stopped talking, right? But this is the idea that we have, this era that we live in. Everyone's just amazed. Who has more followers? Twitter, WhatsApp, you know, whatever, Instagram, whatever. Who has more fame? So Allah Ta'ala says, you know, the angels say back to the people, go back to your luxury, go back to your home so you can be asked. And obviously, at that moment, when the earthquake comes, does anyone worry about their home? When the flood comes, anyone worried about their home? When the tornado comes, is anyone thinking like, how can I save my home? It's just about me, myself, and I at this moment. قَالُوا يَا وَيْلَنَا إِنَّا كُنَّا ظَالِمِينَ At that moment, when people realized that life was not about the house, life was not about the luxuries, life was not about being famous here. Life was about preparation of a real home, which is the grave. And life is about being famous on the Day of Judgment. That type of fame, that type of happiness. At that moment, when people are like, oh my God, I spent my entire life, I wasted my life. Ya waylana, destruction be on me. Inna kunna zalimeen. We are completely, we have been wrongdoers. So again, put yourself in the context of Quraysh. The Quraysh are getting warned by Allah. They are being warned by Allah that you are disrespecting Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And this man is giving his life to give you da'wah and inviting you to Islam. And you all will at the end, Allah is telling them, you're not appreciating him. You're not appreciating the Quran. You're not appreciating anything I've given you. Any of the honor I've given you, at the end of your lives, Allah is saying, at the end of their lives, they're going to regret it. They're going to say, man, we messed up. We had him, alayhi salatu wasalam. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam was with us. We could have just listened to him. And at that moment, they'll say he was telling the truth. Because what happens at the time of death? At the time of death, people will, and I want everyone to reflect, okay? People will all recognize the truth. Wallahi, everyone will recognize the truth. At one point in their life, someone will recognize the truth. Either some people recognize earlier than others. MashaAllah, those brothers and sisters who are born in Muslim households and their parents have raised them in Islam, you know, make dua for your parents. Alhamdulillah. Really, thank Allah Ta'ala because they raised you on the right way. You'll never regret a single moment, any harf, any harakah that you read in the Quran. You'll be grateful from beginning to end. When we see the reward that Allah has promised us on the other side, you're going to be like, wow, I wish I could have spent more time on this. Some people recognize it at birth. Some people recognize it at like 13, 17. Some people recognize it after a car accident. Sometimes a little thing happens and shakes them. And then they recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't know. And some people recognize at the worst time. The worst time. At the time of death, they say, Ya Allah, let me go back. That's the sad part. Okay? So everyone will recognize the truth. Don't think that everyone embraces Islam eventually. It's just you can do it here or you can do it over there. So now, I want everyone to imagine yourself on the deathbed. Because that's what Allah Ta'ala wants us to do. Ya waylana inna kunna zalimeen is not just about the people who are sinners or those people who are kafir. It's about every single person in this world. Because in reality, what's going to happen is when we're on our deathbed, what's going to happen? What thoughts are going to come? Oh, I spent a lot of money on this. I spent millions of dollars on this. I was all thinking about that vacation in the Bahamas. And I was all thinking about that. You know, all of my life was like, I gotta go there. Oh yeah, I was building this. I thought I was gonna live there. And I thought I was gonna die there. Now look at me. I'm miles and miles, thousands of miles away. I thought I was going to move back to India, Bangladesh, Pakistan, or wherever we are coming from. I thought I was gonna build my home there and I was going to die there. Look at me, I'm on my deathbed in America. Right? There's a lot of regret that comes out, right? I could have done this, I could have done that, I could have done this, I could have done that. All these things start happening. And this is not from me.
This is from the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, "Ma min ahadin mata illa nadima." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there's no one who dies except he regrets. They said, "Ya Rasulullah, what does he regret over?" The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if he was a good doer, if he did good deeds, he regrets that, "Ya Allah, I wish I could have done more." And if he was an evil doer, he says, "Ya Allah, I wish I could have stopped." At that moment, you start to see, at the time of death, you start to see the veils of the unseen being lifted before you. So you start to see jinns. Everyone wants to see jinns, right? And I go, "Mawlana, do you get to see jinns? You act like I see them all the time. That's not, you know, I don't want to do that. Why do you think, like, you know, ulama are like pious people who get to see jinns? How is that a sign of piety? You know, that's a really scary person if they can see jinns." Having said that, you start to see them. You start to see the angels. Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi alayh, when he was on his deathbed, they said, you know, because he was staring up, and they said, "Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, O leader of the believers, what are you looking at?" And he said, I'm seeing these green lights that are coming down from me right now." Right? And then he said, "I think they're angels." And then at that moment, his life was taken. You know, like, you're going to see things that you can never even imagine. And at that moment, oh man, I wish I could have done more. Because none of this world mattered at that moment. Okay? So this reminder is about, you know, this is a beautiful reminder Allah that is saying, "Hey, I'm letting you all know before you get there. How about we listen to it and take advantage of it? How about we live our lives according to deen and Islam and do something for the hereafter where we're actually going to live forever?" Ya waylana inna kunna zalimin. We were all wrongdoers at the last moment. So then Allah Ta'ala says, فَمَا زَالَتْ تِلْكَ دَعْوَاهُمْ حَتَّى جَعْلْنَاهُمْ حَصِيدًا خَامِدِينَ. It's a terrible reality. Allah Ta'ala says, for the wrongdoers, the sinners, the criminals, they'll keep repeating it. Inna kunna zalimin, inna kunna zalimin, inna kunna zalimin. They'll keep repeating it until we mow them down. Completely lifeless. Hasidan khamidin. Okay? Hasid is used. Use the word hasada when you harvest something. So imagine, like, you know, there's a beautiful field of corn, and then the tractor comes and takes it all down. I want everyone to ask, what happens after the tractor comes and takes all the corn away? What's left? Just the ground, the field. That's all that's left. Everything has been taken off, as if the corn was never there. As if the corn was never there. And similarly, the word khamid is not, he wrote lifeless. This is one translation. Khamada is used when you stamp out a fire. Okay? Fire is very, it's hot. It leaves an impression, right? But when you start to stamp it out, you take it out, what happens? It's all cold. It's all lifeless. There's no sounds anymore. Nothing, right? So this is what Allah is trying to express, that the harvest is done. Once the harvest is done, what happens when you take off the corn? Okay, if he's a farmer, he's going to plant more corn, right? Similarly with the fire, it's like, okay, I took down one fire, so now maybe another day I'm going to put another fire. So the idea is this, remember about people of arrogance. Everyone thinks I'm the special snowflake. Because I'm here in America, I'm the most important person in the world, and I have my special Islam, and I can do whatever I want, and I can live whatever I want. That's fine, bichara, go ahead, do whatever you want, live with whatever wealth you want, live whatever house you want, marry whoever you want, do whatever you want, no problem. At the end of the day, you're going to go, and the world that you had, it would stay back here. Nothing goes with you, nothing goes with you. You leave every dollar behind, you leave every house behind, you leave everything behind, nothing goes to the other side. That's what Allah is telling us, that the world would just become mowed down, completely lifeless. Now who's going to come next? The next people. Because the classroom is over. You had your 2 hours and 30 minutes to take the exam. And now the exam is over. So now you leave. The next batch comes in. The next batch comes in. And the next batch comes in. So this is what Allah wants us to think about and reflect on. That look, at the end of the day, people of arrogance have to recognize that the next people will come, the next people will come, and the next people will come. Okay, so now Allah, He transitions after this part. And we ask Allah for protection to not be from such people, inshallah. And he goes and he addresses another issue people have. Another issue which I think is a very important issue. So let's hear the ayah. وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاءَ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا لَاعِبِينَ. We did not create the heavens or the earth or whatever is in between for play. We did not make it as a plaything, something to play around with. So there's the proper way of understanding this again. If you remember, last time we talked about there's a proper way to understand the ayah and the modern way that we understand it. So I'm going to deal with the modern one. Last time I said the proper way first. And then I told you about the way that we understand it. So I'm gonna flip it today. I'm gonna start with what we want to ask the question. Allah said we did not create the heavens and earth and everything in between for play. So the question people ask is God playing around with us? Is Allah playing around with us? And what did Allah tell you in the ayah? I'm not playing around. Okay, so that's enough for every Muslim here, mashallah. And I hope that's enough for every Muslim here. But just for people who have doubts, and maybe someone who asks you this question, and you're wondering, how do I respond to someone who says, I think God is just playing a game with us. We're all just like playthings. Okay? So this is a good, I'll give you the issue that a person has, who asks this question, they're not understanding Allah properly. their understanding of Allah is wrong. Okay? Their ilah, their ma'bud, their Allah is not, whatever they're thinking in their mind is not who Allah is. Okay? Who is Allah? Who is Allah? Allah is all-wise. He's al-hakim. Okay? When a person is wise, when a person has wisdom, do you think they play video games? No. They probably be checking their stocks or something. I don't know, like seeing who's the richest man in the world or something, trying to get wealthy. He's probably not even checking out those people. He's probably using his time more effectively. You want to know who's even wiser than that? The wisest people in the world are the ones who are preparing for the hereafter. Because they're thinking, hey, these exams are very small compared to the hereafter. That's a huge exam. So he's getting ready for that. Now, if this is the wisdom of people who don't play around, what about the wisdom of the all-wise? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's one question So first and foremost, you have to understand Allah's al-hakim. He's the one with all wisdom. He's beyond playing. That's first and foremost. Second thing is, he's all knowledgeable. He's al-alim. Okay? How can you play a game? Imagine I was playing with you, let's play like Monopoly or something. I don't know, some weird game like that. All right, Monopoly is like one of the worst ones because I feel so bad about the game. The first and foremost, it's all about dunya. It's already like a very, very negative game. Second thing is that it takes like 6 hours sometimes to finish a game. And at the end, everyone just hates each other. I hate this. This game is such a terrible game because you end up wanting to beat up the guy next to you. Okay? If you haven't had that experience, alhamdulillah, you guys are really pious people. But at the end of the day, we almost wanted to kill each other afterwards. Another game like that that's so savage is Uno. That game, man, you get really heated at the end. Ek, right? Uno. Wahid. MashaAllah. But if you knew the end of the game, if you knew the end of the game, who's going to win, who's going to lose, is there any fun in it? The excitement of the game, the excitement of the NBA, the finals, the excitement of the Super Bowl is that I don't know who's going to win. Right? You want to see the end. Allah's al-alim. He is the knowledgeable. What benefit does he get with playing? Okay? And now the third thing, if that wasn't enough, he's al-hakim, he's al-alim. And the third sifa, the third quality they don't understand about Allah, he's al-quddus. He's the holiest of holy. He's the most divine. Quds is used for something which is completely free of sin or completely free of wasting time. Now I ask everyone, would you think a pious person would play around with people's lives? This is Allah. He's not playing with anyone. You're not understanding. If someone tells you that why is God playing with us, I answer them, I say, I don't think you understood who God is. You don't understand who Allah Ta'ala is. So these three qualities, how could a being of complete wisdom, knowledge and piety play games with other people? That's the question we need to understand. Now, I'll let you know, that's one way of looking at it. But the next ayah is even more profound. لَوْ أَرَدْنَا أَن نَتَّخِذَ لَهْوَ. If we wanted to take an amusement, لَتَّخَذْنَاهُ مِنْ لَدُنَّا. We would have taken it from what's with us. إِن كُنَّا فَاعِلِينَ. Okay? So I want to remind everyone that this section was about arrogance. It's about kibir. When a person says, why is God playing around with us? The question is messed up. It's a terrible question. Why is this question messed up? Because he's assuming, he's thinking that God wants to play with me. I'm such an important, you have a bunch of toys, right? So like Sumayya and Yahya, right? They'll choose the toy that they like the most. And then they'll play with it, right? So, the funny thing about humans is like, why is God playing with us? Why is God toying with us? You act like human beings are a great toy to play with in the first place. What kind of toy are we? Are we really that fun? Are we really that amazing? Half the world, majority of the world curses God, curses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many of them gave Allah ta'ala a son, a lot of them gave them partners. They gave them partners with elephants and monkeys and all these different things that you know better than me. What enjoyment do this is, humans are killing each other. Humans are abusing each other. We're acting like, why would Allah take humans as amusement? He's all powerful, almighty and all knowing. Allah says, if I wanted to, I literally have Jannah, If you want to enjoy, you're not going to take this dunya for enjoyment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you guys are really arrogant here. You think that I'm going to enjoy with you guys? Come on, be a little bit more humble here. You're not that amazing. You're like the toy in the bottom of the toy box that the kid is never playing with anymore. And this is the most important point Allah is telling us. If he enjoys and benefits, okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by definition is self-sufficient. He doesn't require anything. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't. If his creation was here or not here, he doesn't benefit from it. He doesn't get harmed by it. Now, if you are enjoying someone's amusement, you're enjoying that they're there, you're benefiting from them. Allah is saying, I cannot be Allah. I cannot be Allah if I benefit from you. I don't take any benefit from you being here. Does Allah increase if we worship Allah? If all the humans worship Allah, will Allah's kingdom increase a little bit? No. If all the humans disobeyed Allah, disbelieved in Allah, you think Allah will change? No, your idea about Allah is completely wrong. So Allah Ta'ala said to the kafir, guys, you guys are really arrogant. You guys are not impressive at all. You're abusing my Prophet. The Quraysh are abusing the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah's like, you think I really want to keep you here? What would Allah do? Just fling them in Jahannam. It's easy. But what other quality does Allah have? He is Rahman. He's Rahim. He's Halim. He's forbearing. He's patient. He says, you know, give them time. Maybe they'll change. Allah is so ghafoor. Think about it, the last time we committed a sin. May Allah protect us. But the last time we committed a sin, Allah Ta'ala still kept our heart beating. Allahu Akbar, He kept our eyes working. He kept our ears functioning. He kept our mouths working. He kept everything fine. You committed the sin and then you came out of the sin. I made the mistake and I came out of the mistake. And then Allah Ta'ala didn't take away anything. He's so nice, He's so kind. Literally when a person misses a prayer, you know, the angels are beginning to write it down. They're beginning to write it down. And then Allah Ta'ala tells the angels that are about to write it down, don't write it down. Maybe He'll make qada of it. Maybe He'll make it up. So one prayer time goes. And then the angels are ready to write it down. Ya Allah, He didn't make it up after one prayer time. Then Allah Ta'ala tells the angel, don't write it down. Maybe He'll make it up now. Another prayer time goes. And another one, and another one. Until an entire day goes by. And the next prayer time comes for the prayer he missed. Like if he missed Fajr. Then the angel is about to write it down. Then Allah says, okay, now you can write it down. I gave him one day to make it up. And if he just made it up, Allah would have never written down in his books. You'd never even see it. This is who Allah Ta'ala is. We don't understand who Allah is. Really, we don't understand who Allah is. Okay? People think God is an evil being, He's abusive. You don't know who is Allah. God is this, God is that. That is not who Allah is. He's Rahman, He's Rahim, He's Hakim, He's Alim. He has so many beautiful names. You don't study Him, you don't know Him. Okay? Now what does this ayah really mean? We did not create the heavens and the earth as a joke, as a plaything, as a waste of time. We've created it for a purpose. It's here for a reason. It has a very important reason for it to be here. The main reason that you and I understand is wherever you look in this world, وَفِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَهُ آيَةٌ تَدُلُّ أَنَّهُ وَاحِدٌ. Everything you look in this world will tell you that Allah Ta'ala is one. You look at everything in this world and you get amazed by it. You learn something from it. You appreciate it. You see the beauty of it. You understand it. One atheist, he was writing in his diary. I read this in the book, God Arises, where he quoted one of the famous philosophers who was an atheist. He said, I looked at the ear of my little daughter and I saw the contours and the shapes inside her ear. And I said, how amazing is it that this shape has been made so that way sound can come in? And he started to think in his mind that it could not just come out by chance. There must be a designer behind it. And at that moment he said, I stopped thinking about it because I didn't want to go to where it leads. I didn't want to go to where it leads. A person studies science and he becomes a great believer in Allah. A person studies anything in the world, biology, physics, psychology, you name it. They study these things and they appreciate Allah Ta'ala even better. Everything has a purpose here. Now Allah Ta'ala says, He doesn't leave it to us to figure it out. He gives us an ayah here, which is so powerful. بَلْ نَقْذِفُ بِالْحَقِّ عَلَى الْبَاطِلِ فَيَدْمَغُهُ فَإِذَا هُوَ سَاهِقٌ وَلَكُمُ الْوَيْلُ مِمَّا تَصِفُونَ. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, I didn't create the world just to show you something of how I am and being my oneness. That's one reason. Allah Ta'ala says, you want to know what the real reason is? He says, rather, we cast the truth. نَقْذِفُ, we fling the truth عَلَى الْبَاطِلِ, against the falsehood. فَيَدْمَغُهُ, the word dimagh. The word dimagh in Urdu means what? A person's brain. A person's head, right? Allah Ta'ala says, I want to fling the truth against the falsehood. I want to throw the stone which is haqq. And I want to fling it against the glass which is falsehood. And I want to shoot it. And once it goes towards the head of falsehood, what's going to happen? فَيَدْمَغُهُ, it's going to crush it. It's going to destroy it. فَإِذَا هُوَ زَاهِقْ, and suddenly it vanishes. What Allah Ta'ala is telling us here is, people have this question. They all ask this question, how is Islam going to succeed? At the time of the Prophet ﷺ, imagine this, the entire Quraysh are against him. There's no believers, there are very few believers. They are torturing and abusing the Muslims. The Quraysh are thinking this Islam thing is just a fad. They're believing in Islam right now, a couple of years later, no one's going to believe in this deen at all. Everyone thinks that Muhammadur Rasulullah ﷺ is a fake prophet. And they're thinking that his religion is going to die as soon as he dies. So everyone thinks this question, and even our time, I bet you there are a lot of Muslims, that they're thinking that this Mawlana tells us every Friday that Islam is going to be victorious. Islam will succeed. Islam will be supreme. And everyone asks this question, how? How will it happen? How is it going to happen? So Allah Ta'ala says, this is not my response. This is Allah's response. He responds and says, this is why I created the world. This is why I created this entire universe. So I can show everyone on this earth that how Islam is going to be successful. So you don't need to worry about it. We keep worrying how. The question is not how. The question is, how are you and I going to be a part of it? How are you and I going to be a part of this Islam that's going to be successful? Allah will make it successful. That's not an option here. Because He said, that's why I created the dunya. To show the power of Allah, how He will make this Islam that seems so weak, He's going to make it victorious over everything. This is what Allah Ta'ala says. He wants to show us how the truth will obliterate the falsehood. And so, for وَلَكُمُ الْوَيْلِ At the end of the ayah, Allah Ta'ala says, and destruction be to you, woe be to you. How? What's wrong with you? مِمَّا تَصِفُونَ How dare you say I'm playing around? How dare you even say that about me? Allah Ta'ala is very upset. وَلَكُمُ الْوَيْلِ Destruction. God is saying, Allah is saying, may destruction be on you for you even thinking that I'm playing around with people's lives. How do you think that? Don't think that. You and I have only seen half of the equation. Not even half of the equation. We're in this dunya for a little bit of time. A little bit of time. When we go into hereafter and Allah solves the equation for us and shows us what's going to happen in the next life, everyone's going to realize and tell themselves, wow, this plan that Allah had is very deep. Very deep. Okay? So people keep positioning themselves and they keep asking themselves the question, why? Why did Allah do this? Why did Allah do this? Why did Allah do this? Okay? So one scholar said it very nicely. He said, does a preschooler have, you know, any understanding, any way of saying why to what a university student is doing? Like if a preschooler looked at the board and he saw like all these mathematical equations, they asked the university students like, why are you doing all this? What is a university student going to tell the preschooler? Bro, you're not even on the level to even understand like, you know, the X or the Y on this board. You still think X and Y are alphabets, you know? You're still eating alphabet soup. Bichara, like, sit down. You don't have any expertise on this. One scholar said, if you think that example is crazy, he said, an ant has a better an ant could probably understand, you know, human beings, has a better chance of understanding human beings than we have of understanding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The wisdom of Allah is extremely deep. It's so deep. You and I have no idea about it. Trust me. We have, like, the drop of a drop of a drop. When Khidr alayhi salam explains to Musa alayhi salam, Musa, oh, by the way, the reason why I damaged the boat is because there was a tyrant king that was going to come. And if you knew it too, wouldn't you have damaged the boat? Yeah, it makes sense. And then that kid who was going to, you know, grow up to become a kafir and then make his parents into kafir, to disbelievers. You know, Khidr alayhi salam took him off the world. And then that kid is going to be a jannati, inshallah. And the parents will get another child. And then they will be believers and the kid will be a believer too. Allah took care of everyone. And that the wall was going to fall over. Everyone knows this story. And the wall was going to fall over. Musa alayhi salam was so upset. Oh Khidr, you didn't even take any money for this. You should have asked them for something. Khidr said, if it fell over, then that treasure which is underneath that wall, those kids would never have gotten it. Now how would you and I have ever understood that? We don't know. We have barely any understanding. I'm teaching this kid Alif Ba Ta Tha. I'm teaching this kid in Maktab Alif Ba Ta Tha. This guy might become the next Imam Ghazali or Imam Abu Hanifa. I don't even know. My job is what? Teach him Alif Ba Ta Tha. And I hope that he makes dua for me when he becomes Abu Hanifa. Right? That's what we understand. You understand what I'm saying? We don't know Allah's plan so deep. Don't put yourself in this position to ask why. That's not what a believer does. Okay? So Allah goes and says, it's complete arrogance to think that we can even know why. It's so deep of a plan. We don't even understand this plan. We're not even close to understanding this plan. So then he explains who he is. Okay? This is the last part that Allah will speak about arrogance, which is the amazing part. وَلَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ Allah says, to him belongs who is in the heavens and the earth. وَمَنْ عِنْدَهُ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عِبَادَتِهِ وَلَا يَسْتَحْسِرُونَ يُسَبِّحُونَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ لَا يَفْتُرُونَ For those who know Arabic are like, man, Allah laid it down. Allah says, to Him belongs the heavens and the earth. Whoever is in the heavens and the earth. Now Allah is telling us, Mr. Arrogant person, Mr. Qurayshi, Mr. person this and this, you are telling me, why is God doing this? Why is God doing this? Why is God doing this? The question here that Allah is asking us is, do you have any authority to ask why about me? When you are my property, you belong to me. You know, I told you when arrogance, Allah deals with it, He slams it down. This is the slam down. If I saw someone who drove a really nice Mercedes, amazing Mercedes, beautiful car, mashallah. Or he drove the Tesla, Naran Hamia, he drove the Tesla, whatever. Mashallah, great job. Then I saw him in the masjid parking lot take out his bat and start to slam the windows and destroy it. And you know that Tesla is going to break because that guy threw that ball at it and he completely broke that window, right? So he's gonna trash it. So he's trashing it and I'm looking at it, I'm like, Bichara, stop. And I call the cops. Because I'm so upset, you know, the cops come. And they go and say, I tell him, hey, he's destroying his car. And the cops go to him and say, hey, what are you doing? He said, it's my car, I'm destroying it. The cops will come to me and say, why'd you call 911? Why did they tell me, why did I call 911? Because that's his property. Allah is literally telling them, you're my property. I could do whatever I want with you and you can't even ask a question. Don't even ask. Don't even bother. You are Muslims. Submit to Allah. His plan is so deep. He's so knowledgeable. He's so wise. He's so powerful. Just submit because you are His property. If He wanted to throw everyone in Jahannam, could anyone raise a finger and say, Ya Allah, I object? Allah to protect us. Allah to save us. He's so kind. I'm telling you how kind He is. But He says, look, everything belongs to me. And don't think that I need your worship. وَمَنْ عِنْدَهُ Those who are near Him are not arrogant. لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عِبَادَتِهِ وَلَا يَسْتَحْسِرُونَ Nor are they ever sluggish. They never slow down. يُسَبِّحُونَ اللَّيْلِ Every night and every day, they make tasbih of Allah. لَا يَفْتُرُونَ They never tire. So now mankind thinks that, oh, Allah needs this worship. Sometimes a guy, mashallah, so, you know, may Allah protect us. You know, we could pray 5 times a day. But some people are like, wow, look at me. I'm so great. I pray 5 times a day. Look how fancy I am. Look how powerful. Look how amazing. I come in the first row every single time. You know, subhanAllah, I got the first row in the Jumu'ah during Hajj. Look how great of a Muslim I am. Look how great I am. Look how great I am for this deen. This deen definitely needs me, you know. First of all, a person who prays 5 times is just a regular Muslim. I'm just being quite honest here. We're not really fancy. A guy even prays tahajjud. Sometimes a person will pray tahajjud and wake up like, man, that night, I read like Surah Baqarah, man. Beautiful, beautiful surah I recited. Oh man, if only everyone could hear it. He's so arrogant when he wakes up. It would have been better for him to have slept. It would have been better to have slept. Because why? Because Allah didn't need your worship. I worship Allah because I love Allah. I worship Allah because I need Allah. He doesn't need my worship. People need to understand Allah says, I have angels who pray every single night and every single day. Some angels are created just to be in ruku'ah. Some angels are created just to be in sujood. They're literally angels that Allah has designed that they don't do anything except worship Allah. Allah's like, what can you compare to their worship? Insan, humble yourself. Slow down. Slow down. You're rushing. You're rushing. Okay? He did not create us out of need for us. He did not create us for our worship. He did not create us for play. Asking the why question is not leading us anywhere. Allah just says, just be grateful. This is the final point, inshallah. He says, just be grateful that He made us Muslim. I want everyone to be grateful. Thank Allah, really, from the bottom of your heart. Alhamdulillah, I can recognize Allah. Alhamdulillah, I am a Muslim. Alhamdulillah, I understand what Allah is. Because the entire world is thirsty. Really, they're looking for a glass of water to drink. Some ounce, some drop of truth to come in their mouths. You and I have a gallon. We have an entire ocean of Islam. You and I should appreciate it. We have this Quran in front of us, and it so breaks my heart that no one even decides to study Arabic to learn what the Quran says. Or nobody wants to read the Quran from translation from cover to cover. Rather, we like to look up what is Biden's plan for America for the next 4 years. Oh wow, look at what executive orders he made. Oh wow, is Trump out of the office or not? We're so up to drama. You know, we love drama. Man, this Quran is such an epic book. It has so much drama in it. Like, I think it's an amazing kitab. Really, you want to read a book that has such drama and such action, such power. This is the book, man. You know, may Allah give us tawfiq. It's only by His grace that He made us Muslim. We don't deserve it at all. Okay? And so inshallah, we'll leave it there. Because the next part we started, I don't know if we'll finish it. Okay? I want to end with these final comments. Because it's right at the end of here, inshallah. It'll help us out to understand something. So the idea that what's going to happen on the Day of Judgment. Okay? What's going to happen on the Day of Judgment is, because one of these ayats are going to talk about questioning Allah. It literally says, you don't get to question Him. Okay? And so I want everyone to think about this last point, inshallah. The person who had the most pleasing life in this world will be brought on the Day of Judgment. Hadith of Sahih Muslim. A person who had the most pleasing life. You can imagine, the lap of luxury. The man who had the silver spoon. He had the silver platter. Everything about him was completely silver. Everything was given to him. Every type of clothing, every type of life, every type of whatever he wanted, everything was given to him. Bichara, he lived the best life. But he was never a believer in Allah. So then he's a person of Jahannam. He'll be brought in the Day of Judgment. This man who lived in the lap of luxury from beginning to end. He'll be dipped once into the hellfire. And then he'll be taken out for an instant, just a brief moment. Just a brief moment in Jahannam. He'll be taken out. And then Allah will ask him and say, oh human being, have you ever held any good at all? Have you ever felt a single joy? He said, La ya Rabbi, Wallahi ya Rabbi, I have never felt a single joy. A single moment in Jahannam makes everyone forget this world. A single moment in Jahannam makes everyone forget this world. May Allah protect us. Then the Prophet ﷺ explains the opposite. Is that the person who suffered the most in this world. Most suffering in this world. From the people of Jannah. You can imagine this person had lost everything. Family, friends, no money, nothing. Everything was so difficult for him. But that person will be a believer in Allah. And so Allah will take them and dip them once into Jannah. Just once into Jannah. And they were taken out. Then Allah will ask that person, the man is smiling, the sister is smiling. Then Allah will say, oh human, have you ever experienced any difficulty in life? Do you remember any difficulty? Say, Ya Allah, I have never experienced any difficulty. I don't even remember it. You know, the hereafter is such an amazing place. When Allah brings it down, you won't even remember dunya. So don't think that this life is like, oh, this is happening, this is happening, this is happening. You don't even know. When Allah dips you once into Jannah, you're going to forget all the troubles in the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq and understanding. Allow us to appreciate and love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allow Him to be that kind and loving Lord to us. We ask Allah ta'ala that He gives us a life of contentment and happiness. We ask Allah ta'ala that He gives us Jannah through the realm of mercy, not the realm of sabr. We ask Allah ta'ala that he takes His virus off the world. He makes it that we are people, inshallah ta'ala, that worship Him day and night, that we try to live our lives that are pleasing to Him. And we ask Allah ta'ala that we live our life according to Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we can enter Jannah through Firdaus with the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah ta'ala. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallam. Jazakumullahu khairan.